A4 Podcast.
Vítajte pri podcaste Bratislavského nezávislého kultúrneho centra A4. V pravidelnom mesačnom podcaste sa budeme zaoberať tým, čo máme najradšej, súčasnou kultúrou.
Pripravujeme pre vás rozhovory a diskusie s umelkyňami a umelcami, zaujímavými hostiami a hostkami a kultúrnymi aktérmi. S hudobníkmi a skladateľmi z projektu 33 Plucked sme hovorili o ich hudobných vplyvoch, o vzdelaní v hudbe, limitoch vyjadrenia sa a o performance, ktorú vytvárajú na stage. 33 Plucked vystúpili na festivale Next, sú usadení v Berlíne a vytvárajú živú zmes poskladbovej hudby, klasickej hudby, jazzu a kabaretu. Billy Bulltail, belgický skladateľ, ktorého atypický prístup ku kompozícii zahrňa performanciu, architektúru a storytelling, je známy vďaka spájaniu ťažkotonážnej elektroniky so stredovekou a barokovou polyfóniou. Alexander Rietzi sa venuje transformácii materiálov do surrealistických zvukových scén. Ich spoločný projekt 33 vyniká hudobnými aj emočnými kontrastmi a spájaním zdanlivo nespojiteľného. S Billym a Alexandrom sme sa rozprávali počas festivalu Next. Rozhovory v anglickom jazyku.
It's not huge. Yeah, it's not huge. So welcome, and this is for a podcast we are making for this space A4, who also runs the festival Next.
I think as a viewer or like as a, you know, someone who attends a concert, I guess we're hoping to keep you on your toes in a way or something. Like it has this, it jumps around quite quickly.
Yes. Yeah, some surprises.
Yeah.
What was your journey to music you make now?
And I think quite quickly also went into like experimental electronic music. I studied electronic music since I was 18. Then diverted a bit to performance and dance. I always wanted to find a way to combine both music and kind of performance art. And then through a long journey of, you know, working with different people and doing my own projects and developing certain interests and, you know, starting collaborations with, you know, in this last year, so especially a lot with Alex, and then we kind of met more in the arts context than in the music context. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean I also started playing music when I was young, but I was playing more in like metal bands and punk bands when I was a teenager, and also like experimenting a bit with electronic music. But then I went to art school to study painting the first time, and then also like got a fine art degree after that. And somehow in this in between art and music, I mean, I don't see them as separate things, but a lot of people maybe see them as separate things.
I think we both played music as like, you know, teenagers, but then ended up studying arts and then brought our music experience into the art that we were making through performance.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the reason why we started the band is actually because we were like, let's actually try to make an album with songs and like really make music that is more catered towards a music audience or towards like music festival rather than like,
or to listening to an album,
yeah, rather than like music that is part of a performative like happening or exhibition.
Yeah, because we really started installation performance things which were very ephemeral, and it was like this, maybe we should like try to make an album.
Mm-hmm.
69 you're mentioning? This is the only album I found. Is there any other album?
Oh, that's our first and only album.
Okay.
We're working on a second one actually now, as we started, especially this, like the last 2 months, we've been working on new music for an upcoming release.
I must say I found it kind of like haunting, or it has a kind of baroque quality. The topics and the way it sounds.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the baroque, like throughout my kind of experimentations with electronic music, I always was very much bringing in medieval music and like music that from the like early Baroque and let's say Renaissance. Somehow my at least like I kind of wanted to bring composition techniques from these periods into electronic music, and then also worked with, you know, musicians that work within that field, for example like Steve Catona, a countertenor that has performed in a bunch of my pieces. But then yeah, I feel like when Alex and I started 33, like I think it was a natural. We wanted the music to be, you know, not wanting. Somehow the album was should have been a bit like a kind of what would you say, like capricious in nature, like jumping between styles, and and so when we were making the music and thinking especially also like about which artists to invite into the process as featuring artists, we wanted that to be very varied. So we brought in, like, for example, Agnes, who is really like a screamo, like noise industrial metal kind of person, and then Steve, who's a countertenor, so really coming from that Baroque period, or Patrick, who's an experimental cellist, but you know, also kind of flirts between these different genres. But I thought we found it important that that there were a lot of different styles present in the
album. Ivan as well, who's sort of like our most.
Who will be with you performing?
Yeah,
right?
He's a bit like at this point our most consistent collaborator for the live shows. He's a performance artist who works a lot with text and language anyway, but then he's a trained musician. He's very capable of like a very diverse range of voice and performance. And
clarinet, he plays a clarinet.
And clarinet, so he can sort of...
Very versatile.
Do...
Versatility, this is the word that we're looking for.
Actually, Ivan is like capable of channeling a lot of this energy in the live show.
Also in a way of topics which are on the album, or that I was capable of extracting the topics from there. I may correct me if I'm wrong, but I found it a little bit like it reminded me of John Dowland, in a way, because it's also like this combination of sacred and profane, you know, like this very tight combination.
I literally have like the Dowland scores like in my studio at the moment. So, but yeah, I think, I mean, you know, he always says this, like in his songs, like, you know, Flow My Tears, or like In Darkness, or like he's always talking about how like dead people have it better off than him because he suffers so much from like a heartache or something. You know, I think like
very
this
emo.
Kind of like emo-ness is like,
what did Ivan say?
Yeah, like the desperation.
So that's like a key feature of 33 is desperation.
Like the desperation for...
Which, it makes for a dynamic
emo, but kind of like
range, like desperation, because it can be sad, it can be violent, it can be...
It's like emo, but a bit more bloody.
Life hasn't failed to ring.
what are your roles in this duo or sometimes trio?
Trio tonight, like the Bratislava show is trio, and I mean our roles would like the general positioning of people is Billy on piano, Ivan on vocals and clarinet, and me on drums and electronics. But then everyone at some point sings. Mm-hmm. You funny. Also yeah, yeah. play an aquaphone, which is this horror film soundtrack.
Sound effects instrument.
Yeah. Instrument.
Describe the trio as a kind of like jazz lounge trio that is being haunted by fever dreams.
Wow, okay. That's very concrete.
Yeah, I think it's a good description. But like, there's always something a bit manic about 33, I think. It's also like a sense that we tried to channel in terms of, I mean, also like the genre jumping and the mood swings and all of this somehow, like, it serves, and we try to keep that energy alive as well.
I mean, Alex and I started, it was like really like a lockdown project in a sense. Like we started it, you know, when everything kind of closed down upon, especially, you know, people who work in the arts and in performance and stuff. So we had a lot of time on our hands, and that's when we decided, like, let's make like an album, or like, let's think towards this album. And it kind of started out of us sitting in the studio and really doing improvisational kind of like sessions, for a couple of days, I think every day was one session, and then later on we went into it and started editing and really constructing songs out of each of the days, and we're applying the same process on the second album now.
Yeah, well, it's like I sort of look at it as like a sculptural music practice in a way that, like, you build this like a sort of like a subtractive process where you're like would take a giant piece of clay and then you're like start carving into it and then putting other parts on to combine it and yeah, but really starting on the first album but also on the new album, like, with this with
really
these long
dense,
improvised
long improvisational sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah,
getting a song out of those, yeah.
Ivan came to Berlin to record a bit with us, and sort of have a pretty good demo version of a new track with Ivan, and
it's like a little like a progressive house energy.
Okay. So yet another turn.
Not expect.
And there's like some drumline kind of, you know, like this American marching band kind of. It is that we really like do this sculptural process, and then we have to sit down and be like, okay, how do we do this live? And like, we haven't gotten that far with the new material yet, because the new material is still sort of like
rocky,
a fetus.
It could get crushed a bit more.
Like, I think monsters are like a good other like grounding for the project somehow, or even like,
of course, it's like the
Frankenstein.
Gargoyle.
Yeah,
it's like a gargoyle,
like some extremity of some emotions, for example, or some top of something. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think monsters culturally like always like also signified these darker sides of human psychology and emotion that like were easier to represent through certain kinds of storytelling rather than. It's attentive in a way that's almost intimidating. Like, mm-hmm. It seems like people here are like smart and then focused, and it's a bit like you're
more analyzing, maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not, which is like also nice to play for people who really listen. And then sometimes you play a show and it's people who maybe just are there because it's a Friday night and it's something happening. I think both are nice, and you can reach people the same way, but yeah, I don't...
We must say, I mean, I think what I think is funny about our audiences or the places, the venues maybe where we perform, is that the audience is mostly seated, and I think some of the songs on the album are actually really like dance songs, and it's creating a little bit like a schizophrenic like experience in the sense that like... People are sitting down, and then suddenly it's like this really, you know, jumpy, like techno song. And people want to give like energy back, but I think the way that we perform it is more almost in this narrational style that we go from one song into the next, and we're like really guiding through this experience of all these different styles of music. So sometimes there's like these like lost like. Coming out of the audience when like we're like continuing playing, and no, not that they can't connect, but like I think it's like people are a bit confused, like should I start, like, you know,
should I dance, should I clap, should I cheer, should I stay quiet
or, you know, yeah,
something between lounging and moshing, you know, like,
yeah
exactly. it's a hard thing to swap between like quickly.
Yeah.
Don't miss the beginning, because it just starts. We don't, I'd say like we're not a,
there's no build up. Okay.
It's like once you're on the roller coaster, it doesn't stop.
Podcast vznikol ako súčasť projektu New Perspectives for Action v rámci medzinárodnej spolupráce Reimagine Europe, spolufinancovaného Európskou úniou a z verejných zdrojov podporeného Fondom na podporu umenia a nadáciu mesta Bratislavy. Ďakujeme.